The market is moving fast. And all of that speed puts you right in the middle of the action.
I feel the need for speed.
Trying to pick out the stocks, mutual funds, and ETFs that are your real targets from the ones that will make your portfolio crash and burn. Investment research firm New Constructs looks for the telltale signs in corporate filings that show which way a security will move next.
Warning, warning.
Whether it is flying a true course or misleading the investment public about its prospects.
Son, your ego is writing checks your body can't cash.
New Constructs separates all securities into those that are attractive and the ones that are, well, dangerous.
Danger, danger.
Every Monday on Money Life, company president David Trainer shoots down one security whose actions he thinks have it headed for trouble.
What you have done is wrong.
Whether you simply sell it or get aggressive and sell it short, you'll want to know which securities to have on your radar as Money Life enters.
That's right. Staring down the barrel of trouble, finding out where it is, why it exists, and then steering you clear of it. That's what we do here on The Danger Zone, when we are joined by David Trainer, the president of New Constructs. New Constructs evaluates securities on a scale of most attractive to most dangerous. They do that by analyzing securities from the bottom up, looking at the footnotes, and then working their way to the top line numbers. And they often find that top line numbers are misleading, and that makes them dangerous. Now, if you want to know more about how it works, if you want to see their list of the most attractive and most dangerous companies, go to newconstructs.com, where they also blog about their danger zone pick so that you can get more information even than we give you right here. David Trainer, welcome back to the show.
Great to be back, Chuck. Thank you.
Who's in the danger zone this week?
Twitter.
Danger, danger.
I know that we have a lot of folks who are Twitter fans.
Hello, Twitterers.
They may not be all that happy with you. I mean, in fact,
I heard you blew up the Twitter sphere.
You might blow up the Twitter sphere, but why is Twitter in the danger zone?
Well, you know, Chuck, I'm going to enjoy this one more than usual because seeing all these potential suitors walk away from Twitter, I think confirms our original thesis on Twitter is that it's a broken business model, that not only is it not profitable, despite this illusory non-GAAP and top-line revenue growth, I shouldn't say illusory, illusionary, it's also got no chance to make profits, right? You know, it's very difficult for anyone to make a straight-faced argument that all of a sudden they're going to turn this highly unprofitable, decelerating growth business into something that is profitable no matter what platform they get attached to. And I think what we're seeing with some of these more sophisticated like Google and others walking away from this deal is that they're either reading our research or they're doing the same research, which is really obvious. And that is there's no profits and you shouldn't pay more than $3 a share for this thing.
Wow. You're right. What we're hearing from the Googles of the world is
I'm not getting sucked into that.
They don't want to get sucked into Twitter. But if there's no money to be made. Now, what about things like, you know, Twitter did that whole thing where they just streamed a football game. There's no prospects there to find ways to monetize this and turn it into real money.
Yeah. You know, when we saw them start getting into live events, that very much fits with our thesis on where the money is in this business. It's on proprietary content. Original content, right? Same thing as what we're saying about Netflix. There is no differentiation. There is no competitive advantage to delivering commoditized content. Delivery is not an advantage by itself. So just because it's delivered over the internet doesn't mean it's special. Live content, yes, but it's not something that other people don't do as well. You know, the football games are already going out over cable. Yeah, more people on Twitter get to see it, but it's not enough to move the needle there just because it's not something that other people can't do as well. They don't own that content. They're not going to be the exclusive delivery platform. They may be one, but definitely not the exclusive. And if you don't really have any exclusivity or any other kind of real competitive advantage, you don't really have much chance for profit.
What's going to be a catalyst here? Because you just said a moment ago that this stock, you don't see a deal being done for more than like $3 a share. Stock's trading for close to 20 a share. So what is going to be a catalyst that makes people go, you know, there's the one side that says, I'm not willing to buy you at that price. There's the other side that says the price is going to decline to what you're saying it's worth anyway. What makes it actually take that journey?
I think what we're seeing here in the actions of Google and the others walking away, you know, look, of course, I'm biased about this, but I think that they're either reading our research or doing their own. And as soon as you do that kind of work, Twitter's bargaining power goes through the floor. They need an acquirer more than any buyer needs them. Their business is unprofitable. The expectations for future profit growth in the stock price are that they have to achieve a 9% after-tax profit margin when their current profit margins are negative 11, and grow revenue by 20% compounded annually for almost 15 years. That's what $20 per share implies, right? There's no way they do that without partnering with somebody. Zero chance, right? And so as soon as the potential acquisition community recognizes this, and look, we're not the only people smart enough to crunch numbers this way, and we're publishing this stuff widely and mostly for free. As soon as they realize, it's like, why would I pay you $20? You know, as long as nobody else is dumb enough to pay it either. And so I think this walking away from Twitter signals a recognition that Twitter's bargaining power is not as good as people think. And also, I think it signals a more rational approach to acquisition, right? Even as we write in our article on this, you know, if for a second we assume that the CEO of Salesforce, Mike Benioff, if we can assume that he cares as much about economics as he does about headlines in doing a deal, he can't do this for more than $2.89.
Wow.
And so, I don't know, I feel like, again, look, I'm projecting here, but I think the mentality of the marketplace, the collective intelligence, you know, the markets is getting, maybe it's getting a little smart about M&A, because guess what? Money may be really cheap right now, and it may be the only way companies can grow, but eventually the market will punish you if you waste capital. And that's what we've seen with some of these other acquisitions, like CRM with Demandware and Microsoft with LinkedIn. And, you know, it's only a matter of time.
Yeah, and not wanting a repeat of those. Well, nobody's going to want to overpay for Twitter. And, well, that means...
no followbacks.
Yeah, there's no followbacks. There's also not necessarily much demand for it at $20 a share, which is why you think it's going to be way down if and when the company is sold. Twitter, TWTR, in the danger zone. David Trainer, thanks as always for joining us.
Great to be with you, Chuck. Thank you.
David Trainer is the president of New Constructs. If you want to learn more, go to newconstructs.com. Follow them on Twitter at New Constructs.
Because you, like me, can't get enough of me.
Yeah, that's a Twitter joke, which is kind of pretty funny when you're talking about Twitter being in the danger zone. All right. Up next, it's the Money Life Market Call. Jeff Oxshur from the Oxshur Fund will be here when we continue in just a moment.
Oh, wow. This is actually pretty dangerous.